My younger son recently got into reading mystery stories. He liked to pick up the clues as he read and also enjoyed how the mystery was eventually solved at the end. I don't remember how our conversation started, but I was chatting with both of my sons a few days ago about that we are learning about Abraham's life these Sundays. Through many years of Sunday school, they of course knew who Abraham was and also heard about God's promise to him. While we were talking, I made the claim that God is really the author for the whole Bible. My older son asked me how so, since he knew the Bible is a compilation of many books written by various people spanning across over 1,000 years. I mean, as a teacher, I love these random yet precious teachable moments. Then I went on to explain how the authorship of the Bible has to be God because there were many clues in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus in the New Testament. The only possibility is that God authored all the stories that happen in the Bible with many clues throughout thousands of years. With the background knowledge of mysteries, even my younger son now seemed to understand the point. I didn't get a chance to hear this when I was little because my parents were not Christians. In my early years of becoming a follower of Christ, I still remember reading the Old Testament and being surprised and disappointed by all the wrongdoings of the celebrities of the Bible. You know how our own upbringing and cultural background shape the way we interpret texts and see the world. Growing up in an educational culture of learning from and following role models, I was looking for a role model, someone who is perfect in their words and deeds when I read the stories of these big names of the Bible. However, I noticed these so-called role models had so many flaws to the point that I wondered why people even name their children after these people. Later on, I realized that the focal point really should be on God, who revealed himself through the recount of stories of these famous yet fallible humans. I appreciate that we are devoting 2 months to have an in-depth study of Abraham, the patriarch of the chosen people in the Old Testament. Through his story, we could observe how God was loving and faithful and his promise unchanged, in spite of Abraham and his family's poor choices and failures. So let's pray to start today's study. Dear God, thank you for another Sunday when we come together to worship you. Even though it might not be in person for some of us. Thank you for your presence wherever we are, and thank you for your faithfulness. I ask that you speak through the message today and speak to each and every one of us. May what we learn today be applied to how we live daily. Amen. Last week, Ian led us to learn about how God rescued Lot because of God's loyalty to Abraham. After the dramatic events of the previous chapters, Abraham journeyed south of Gaza of Gerar. We will continue with Genesis chapter 20 and 21 today. So, chapter 20, verse 1 to 2. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of his wife, "She's my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So the story in chapter 20 sounds a lot like the story in chapter 12, where Abraham and Sarah escaped to Egypt from a severe famine. In this prior account, Abraham lied about his marital relationship with Sarah to Pharaoh, in fear of his own life, despite God's promise of blessing and protection. However, God did not deal with Abraham and his unfaithfulness. Instead, he dealt directly with Pharaoh. As a result, Abraham, interesting enough, was blessed with increased wealth, silver, gold, and livestock. Here in this story, Abraham and Sarah relapsed back into their old trick when they were faced with another powerful king, Abimelech. When they were in Egypt many years ago, Sarah was taken by Pharaoh because of her beauty. However, the story here didn't mention why Abimelech took Sarah, perhaps for the same reason, or more likely to establish a marriage alliance with now powerful Abraham. Similar to that of Chinese emperors marrying princesses from other powerful states in ancient China. There's not enough evidence, but it's interesting to see that Abraham said of Sarah, of his wife, "She's my sister." And then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah, almost indicating that Abraham offered Sarah for a marriage alliance in fear of perhaps losing his life or his power in case of any military conflicts. Regardless of the reason, we could observe that Abraham once again acted with fear and tried to take the matter into his own hands by applying his human wisdom to protect himself. The father of faith failed to trust God's promise and deliverance. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." However, God, like before, did not address this issue with Abraham, but directly spoke to Abimelech in his dream and stopped Sarah from becoming Abimelech's wife. What an amazingly merciful and loving God Abraham had. In spite of Abraham's repeated failures in trusting God's promise, God kept his promise and delivered Abraham from dangers. Let's read verse 4 to 7. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent person? Did he not himself say to me, 'She's my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you don't return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who you are, who are yours." Even though Abimelech is a pagan king, God of Abraham is a righteous God who recognized Abimelech's integrity and intervened to prevent him from sinning. So we can read from verse 8 to 13. Abimelech rebuked Abraham for his lie, and Abraham tried to excuse his action with a half-truth, which really was a whole lie. In verse 11, Abraham said, "I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife." He was talking about these pagans not having fear of God, while he purposefully used this half-sibling relationship with Sarah to be technically true to avoid his self-perceived danger. Where was his fear of God? Apparently, it was not there. This reminded me of many occasions when I used technically correct excuses to get myself out of a situation instead of trusting God's protection and deliverance. My half-truth, like Abraham, reflected my fear and lack of faith in him. So in the last part of chapter 12, verse 14 to 18, Abimelech gifted Abraham with livestock, servants, and right to live in the land, and compensated Sarah with 1,000 pieces of silver. Then Abraham prayed, and Abimelech and his household were healed. This is really interesting. Abraham was in the wrong, and he should be giving gifts for his wrongdoing. But on the contrary, he received gifts from Abimelech. If you remember, in a prior account of his interaction with another pagan king, the king of Sodom, in chapter 14, Abraham swore an oath to the Lord that he would not accept anything belonging to the king of Sodom, so that he would never be able to say that he made Abraham rich. Now, he accepted Abimelech's gifts. We can see that Abraham's faith and moral ground was totally shaky after he lied and tried to explain it away with excuses. So similarly, our faith falters and goes backward quickly when we compromise in difficult situations because of fear instead of trusting God. So in spite of Abraham's failure in trusting God's protection, God stayed unchanged and faithful to him. God still listened to Abraham's prayer and healed Abimelech and his household. It is so reassuring to know that our God is faithful to us, even when we are not. Chapter 21, verse 1 to 6. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Since God first called Abraham for 25 years, Abraham had been experiencing God's perfect faithfulness through his protection, deliverance, and material blessings, in spite of his less than perfect faith. Now, the story came to a pivotal point, as God has promised, that Isaac was born even though Abraham and Sarah tried to take the matter into their own hands. Following the pattern we have observed between Abraham and God, God's promise of a son was not fulfilled by Abraham's perfect obedience, but by God's faithfulness to his word. Similarly, we can see the parallel in Isaac's God's promise of a future Messiah, Jesus Christ, despite the human failures in obeying God. Isaac's birth, God's promise and humans' reaction around it, was like a precursor to the eventual birth of Christ the Savior. We can read from verse 8 to 21. What Abraham did outside God's promise eventually came back to haunt him. The family conflicts between Sarah and Hagar, Isaac and Ishmael were inevitable. The conflict started long before Isaac was born. In chapter 16, Hagar started to despise Sarah after she was pregnant with Ishmael. That resulted in her being driven out by Sarah. This family strife passed down to Ishmael and Isaac. So Ishmael, who was older and bigger, laughed at or mocked Isaac. In a similar consequence, Sarah asked Abraham to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. There are many details to this part that we don't have time to get into. What we can see from this recount was that God stayed faithful to Abraham and continued keeping his promise in this messy situation. To Hagar and Ishmael, God was merciful and gracious, albeit they had their sinful desires and attempted to change the unfavorable situation in their own strength. Now it comes to verse 22 to 34. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned." And Abraham said, "I will swear." When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. And the two men made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart?" He said, "These 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well." Therefore, that place was called Beersheba. Because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. After experiencing Abraham's God directly and through what God had done for Abraham, Abimelech, a pagan king, recognized God and showed fear for him so much so that he wanted to make a peace pact with Abraham to protect his land and future generations. As Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Abimelech was wise because of his fear for God. In contrast, Abraham acted with a different kind of fear, the kind that was generated by doubt. So I once heard a preacher said that fear makes us see things that are not there. Clearly, Abraham was driven by fear when he lied to Abimelech about Sarah. He was driven by fear when he tried to make God's promise of a son to come true by manipulation. In retrospect, we learned that the reality didn't turn out the way he feared, because God was in action behind the scene. Oftentimes, I am no different from Abraham in this regard. I take matters into my own hands when it is difficult to wait or when things are out of control from my human perspective. I take actions out of sync with God because I fear the what ifs. Like Abraham, again and again, I failed to trust him and stick to my faith. But God never changed from who he is and always kept his promise. We know for a fact that God's promise to Abraham, Jesus the Messiah, eventually came true through the line of Isaac. He stays faithful even when we run out of steam and grow weary. Brothers and sisters, let's trust in God and do not act in fear. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being faithful to Abraham. And thank you for keeping your promise. Thank you for Jesus, your promise coming true. Please remind us of who you are and what you have done. Help us not act in fear, but in faith. Amen.